Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is make the leader in you come alive.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining us. Friends, no matter if you are the mother, the child, the blacksmith, or the apprentice, no matter the role, you have a purpose. You're a leader in that purpose. Our goal here is simple, to inspire and equip all to lead where they are. In other words, get us on cue with God's will, on cue with his calling in our lives, which is our purpose, and get others on cue with that purpose. What is cue? It is how Nehemiah, a model transformational leader, took a starved, desperate, isolated people in closing the gaps in the wall around ancient Jerusalem. In a sense, he also built a way of life. He CUE'd them up. C is for common ground. What can we agree on? Why we've come together? U is a unified thought. What vision can we share together as to what we intend to do? And E, equally yoke. What's the game plan? What's success look like? What's our role in that? It's how we do this together. So Q Leadership, it broadly integrates biblical principles of gospel of leadership using Nehemiah as a model to help you do two things. One, get people to trust you. Two, get people to follow you in discipleship. Trust and discipleship is at the very axis of leadership. As we always do, we want to start our show with a prayer. So, Lord, you're a powerful, merciful, living God. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, lead this ministry and our audience and all that are serving you. We know that this Q Leadership is your brainchild, but our calling in your name. We honor you today by doing two things. One, giving you the glory, and two, serving this generation through Q. So, Lord, your word shares in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. So, Lord, use this ministry to complete that purpose. Align, equip, and transform some new leaders for your glory. Help us others hear the call and receive the call and raise some transformational leaders and some gatekeepers in your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. So what do we expect today? Well, like we always do, we try to have a dialogue, a conversation about leadership based in God's word. Try to equip leaders with a roadmap to tap into faith and to building that trust and building that discipleship. And thirdly, try to highlight everyday leaders who are making a difference. They can testify to God's goodness in their lives and in even their own transformation. Our show is a lot of things, but it is not to criticize, but to shine a light on some truth, but in love. It's not to tell you what to do, but provide a different lens in order to see things. It's not to focus on mere symptoms of a problem, but get to the root of the problem. Treat the infection and not the runny nose, so to speak. So today is with any day. Let's pray and be open that we hear the Lord and not me. I have the right questions, and no matter what the differences may be, remember that this life is about love and surrender. And there will be differences of opinions, of course, but let us do what a true transformation leader says. Let us agree without being disagreeable, and we'll be thought partners and have a fruitful dialogue today. So thanks for joining us tonight. You know, what another week, busy week on a lot of different fronts. Last week, if you recall, we discussed this viral video from the frat brothers from the Sigma Alpha Epsilon singing about excluding black students and lynching, all of which are enforcing the long-simmering undertone of racism and prejudice across the country. We discussed the expulsion of the fraternity at OU and chanting the N-word, if you will, and also we discussed all of these two shooters in Ferguson's, police officers too, and even from that revenge perspective. There's another set of N-words, as we characterized last week, in our nation that sparks discussions and disputes and dialogue around race. But there are some N-words that we as leaders must stop doing, and if we will make our nation a greater nation, that's all of us. And we are in a stop doing series based in Proverbs 17. However, we began with defining N. It's not the N-word from the letter N, but I-N, and it means to cause to become. And all the things where we're talking about, from the chanting to Ferguson, everything we're talking, seeing in the news, it is the cause to become injured. and we wanted to to cause become harm or wounded in some form or fashion, those are some of the things we stop. We have to stop doing. Inciting the opposition and getting us in conflict. The third was inflaming things, fuel to continue to irritate and worsen situations. And lastly was to instigate, to cause, to become purge or to provoke, all which creates a set of anguish that we have to understand, that we have to deal with. And how the question was, how do we drop the N-words? And we had to turn to the one who did not come to injure but to save, but the one who did not come to incite but the word, but to fill the world with the world, and that who did not come to inflame but to set flame to our spirits, but who didn't come to instigate or prick us, but to really stifle and bound evil. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But more specifically, we had to turn to him to in his anguish, in a sense, in Luke 22, and see how he dealt with that. And that was when he was in the garden before his arrest. And what he did in his anguish was a few things. One, pray more earnestly in those times of need. Two, committed to his purpose as his drops of sweat like blood falling to the ground showed us. Thirdly, encourage others as he encouraged his idle and sleeping disciples who were there needing to be in prayer as well. Fourth, discern the malcontent that was around him as he saw Judas and as well as the soldiers approach. Fifthly was to rectify the wrong. And if there is anything, like he healed the ear of a soldier that Peter cut off his ear, you have to rectify wrongs in order to really get to a dialogue in order to start some healing. And finally was engage opponents with the right tools, not swords and clubs in order to injure folks or to incite violence and those types of things like the soldiers had coming into the garden, but with a pure heart, which is a tool we all need. And having the right tools are vital to times of anguish, times of peace, times of purpose, even in times of leadership. And that's what our show is really all about, especially in times of leadership. And yes, we are in a Stop Doing series, but where we are asking leaders to stop doing these things, but keep these and lead in their anguish. But we'll do something different today. Having the right tools for leadership is what our ministry is about. I experienced a great conference this weekend, filled with the things of to start doing, in a sense. We had the privilege of partnering with the Greater Frisco Chapter of Jack and Jill of America and equipping some young leaders doing their signature event called The Art of Leadership. We'll talk a lot more about that as the show goes on, but I had the privilege of sharing a small portion of our curriculum, our gatekeepers, to two groups of people. And the middle school age and high school age, and I taught them how to stand and deliver. How to stand and deliver, meaning I began this session, though, of just like I just start all the shows, what's that one word that describes you, and if money was no issue, what would you do every day? Essentially, we walk through a framework to help them stand on their story, stand on their own testimony or their own purpose, their own vision or their own needs, and whatever that is, had to come from the heart, and then to deliver that vision by making a connection with the audience, bringing them in, essentially queuing them up in a sense. And those kids were awesome. They participated well, and even we got a great rap performance out of one of the sessions. It was phenomenal. And what was powerful was the use of what was even more powerful was a few to use the word of God to articulate their vision. And no coaching, no urging on my end. It just ultimately it came true and true. And these kids have the right tools, have a heart to serve, and were ready and receptive to sharpening their own art of leadership. And that which leads into our question of the day, how to sharpen the art of leadership. And helping us with that to do are two great leaders, to one I've known for some years, one I've just met, but they're all great leaders in their own right, involved in the Jack and Jill of America. The first one is Renee Sample. She's the president of the Greater Frisco Chapter. And the second was Cheryl Austin. Austin. She is the executive director and CIO and Employees Retirement Fund of City of Dallas, both sharpening their irons of future leaders. And we're proud and honored to have them with us today. So after the break, We'll start our dialogue with our two special guests, Renee Sanford and Cheryl Alston, and who will answer our question today, how to sharpen the art of leadership. So during the break, stay with us. Call and log in with your thoughts and stay with us and ask any questions. Can't afford to miss with this one. We are taking calls. Our number is 310-861-2331. To ask the question, press 1 on your telephone, which is raise your hand virtually. And normally I would say my daughter Kennedy will bring you in, but she's not with me tonight, so you have to bear with me of clicking buttons and turning slides as we kind of go through. You also are welcome to log into our live chat room, and I periodically check that. Again, Kennedy usually does that, but we'll make sure we have a fruitful dialogue there as well. So, friends, we'd love to hear from you. Please call us at 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell, and we will be right back.
By getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
Welcome back to the welcome to the show. You're listening on Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you lead where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and His purpose on your life. Today's question of the day, how to sharpen the art of leadership. Helping us with that are two great leaders involved in the Jack and Jill of America organization. We have Renee Sample, who's the president and of the Greater Frisco chapter here in DFW area. And Cheryl Alston, she is the executive director and CIO of the Employers Retirement Fund of the City of Dallas. Both are sharpening irons over our future leaders. So let's give them a virtual round of applause. Ladies, welcome.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you. I know it's been a busy weekend for the both of you, and I know you're trying to make sure you get to families because I know it's been absolutely tough, and I really appreciate you joining us tonight.
No, we're very pleased to be with you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Thank you. Hey, so as we always do, and if you got a chance to look in our show in the past time or hear us, we always open our show with the same two questions of our guests. And we want to ask these same two questions of both of you. And if Nave's okay, I'll start with you. You know, what is that one word that describes you? Secondly, if money was no issue, what would you do every day?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I think the one word that describes me is visionary.
Visionary, okay. Tell us why.
Visionary, yeah. Well, once I grasp onto my children's or our family or what their dream is in the dream catcher mode, then I just create a vision. It just comes to me. I pray about it. And even with the Greater Frisco chapter, in the direction that we want to move in for our children, because Greater Frisco is a mother's organization, and the only thing we try to do is try to instill experiences and exposures to create success and create visions within our children for the future.
Amen to that, and I can definitely see
but
that.
Once we get to the direction that the Greater Frisco chapter wants to move in, then I pray about it and think about it long and hard and try to come up with a vision. Because we are 70 moms strong, and we use those as our resources to get the job done.
Amen. Amen to that. So also connected to that, if money was no issue, what would you do every day?
Wow. If money was no issue... I'm really big on one of my biggest things is education. So if money was no issue, I would just really focus my funds on providing for tutoring and getting children to believe in math and technology and science to get them to increase their self-esteem and believe in themselves that they can achieve it.
Wow, education. Education is so key. So key to all of this, and it rings true and true throughout all society, no matter where you come from. So Cheryl, I'm gonna jump over to you. You know, what's that one word that describes you? And secondly, what would you do if the money was no issue?
Well, Eric, you know, I thought about this ever since I thought of the question, and I guess the one word that would describe me is altruistic. And
altruistic,
when I look at altruistic, yes, because I'm really concerned about kind of the welfare of others, and everyone can lead in their own way, and people contribute in their own way, and so how I try to, contribute to the welfare of others is by kind of leading and developing programs as well as that are focused, like I said, on education or focused on health. So if you look at some of the things that I do, some of the volunteer, you know, I serve on a lot of different boards of organizations, either devoted toward healthcare or obviously I was working with as part of Jack and Jill, but it's really trying to use whatever skills and talents that I might have to help benefit the welfare of others.
Benefit the welfare of others. So I assume your question, your answer to the second question is related to that. So do you have something specific that you would do if money was no issue?
I do. Actually, if money was not an issue, I would actually run a foundation. And that kind of combines people with a love, devoted towards kind of children's education and health. And it combines two loves. Obviously, one, in my day job, I do investments. And so it's as part of my day job, I'm the executive director and chief investment officer for a $3 billion fund. And and investing those proceeds, in this case, in order to provide for the retirement benefits for the employees. But foundations, they obviously invest their money to turn around and create more and more programs for whatever their targeted issues are, and for mine it would be children's education and health.
Children's education and health. And so let me just follow on with that for a second, just kind of talk a little bit more about you, and then we'll switch back to Renee here. You talked about sitting on boards. You talked about your role as chief investment officer as well, and for the fund here in Dallas. But you was also appointed recently by the president on a committee. Could you talk about that?
Oh, sure. I was appointed in 2011 by President Obama to serve on a advisory committee for the Pension Benefit Guaranty Corporation. And that corporation guarantees the benefits for defined benefit plans for private corporations. So the PBGC currently has over $80 billion, and so the advisory committee will look at the public policy issues, investment issues related to the running of that organization and the investment of money. And our job is to really recommend to the board any recommendations around those issues in order to improve the agency.
Right. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. There's a lot more behind both Renee and Cheryl. They want to try to give everyone a taste of who they are and what they do. And Cheryl, Renee, you're not stranger from the investment side of the house as well as the education side of things, because of how we know each other from your husband, and we've known and worked with each other for a long time. But you can tell a little bit more about you and what you do, and so our audience can get to know you a little bit better.
Yes, I am a mother of four, two that have graduated out of Jack and Jill, two that are still in. I've served on many PTA, PTO, and booster boards. I'm very involved in the school system and in healthcare specialists as far as scoliosis screening, type 2 diabetes, vision, and eye care. So I'm very active, very involved. I like to travel. I'm a past IT project manager.
Mm-hmm.
With Sabre, EDS, American Airlines. So I manage projects well and manage large groups.
Yep. And it really showed on yesterday with this wonderful event that you and the chapter put on. And if I can stay with you just for a second, tell us about Jack and Jill, just Jack and Jill, simply even the broader organization. This history, how it started, its mission, and just the structure and programs. What can you say about Jack and Jill?
Well, Jack and Jill got started in Philadelphia. Little girl came to her mom and said, "Mom, I want to go to the cotillion. I want to go to this banquet with my friend." And her friend was white and she was black. And her mom said, "Honey, you can't go." And so that just sparked in her mom, that she felt so bad telling her daughter no, that she wanted to get something started. And from that, and with other groups with mom, she started Jack and Jill of America Incorporated. And so we have since grown over 10,000 families across the United States of America and abroad. We have seven regions within the United States. Within Texas, we have 29 chapters within the Texas area. And our Texas region covers Louisiana, New Mexico, and Oklahoma also.
Okay.
So we're very widespread. We're very known, well-known across the United States. And it's a mother's organization that's working hard for the future of America.
For the future of America. And Cheryl, how long have you been involved in Jack and Jill? And can you talk about some of the major programs that you guys are involved in?
Oh, yes. And I joined after Renee, and I've been involved with Jack and Jill for 5 years.
Okay.
I'm the mother of my 7-year-old who started in Jack and Jill when she was 2 years old. And the reason why I joined was very similar to the story that Renee gave about kind of the origin of Jack and Jill. I wanted a place where my child would see and have the opportunity to interact with other kids that look like her, and in a very positive environment and in a very loving environment. And that is what drew me to Jack and Jill. And in terms for that, the Greater Frisco chapter was a very new chapter at that point. Renee was one of the founding mothers of the chapter. And for the programming, when I started out in my role as foundation chair, was really trying to, one, write grants to benefit the community, and Art of Leadership is one of those, and really focused on what are some of the key things that we want our children to learn. And as you said, you know, early on, that leadership is just one of those things that carries you throughout life. And so
yes,
that was kind of the creation of Destination CEO, Art of Leadership. The other thought around leadership was, you know, how do we start teaching leadership earlier? So that's when we started looking at, you know, 8 to 18, with the thought of if the kid went through that for 10 years, by the time they got to college, they will have had a lot of opportunities and to learn and develop leadership skills. And the other part of the beginning part, Destination CEO, well, the thought around that was that, you know, we teach our kids to be leaders, but ultimately we really want to make sure that our kids are positioned to become CEO of any organization. It could be their own company or a Fortune 500, Fortune 100 company. We really want to make sure that kids are always looking at what kind of skills what he did to develop in order to get to that top position. And so that's one of the programs. So that's one of the programs. We also have one other grant that will take place on May 30th. And that grant is focused on for the community, and there are a lot of Olympic sports where they have a large African American representation, and there's quite a few that do not have any. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, you look at gymnastics, we just had one person obviously win the gold for gymnastics, but there's fencing, there's archery, there's a whole host of sports that that do not have a large population of African Americans, either for financial reasons or they just didn't have the opportunity to learn that sport.
Mm-hmm.
And so this grant is really focused on giving kids an opportunity to learn a sport, an Olympic sport, that they would not have exposure to through school. And I don't know if you've probably read Malcolm Gladwell's Outliers.
Yes.
And the 10,000 hour rule. And so we calculated that in order for you to spend 10,000 hours to become an expert, it takes about 10 years to become an expert on a certain sport. So that means in order for them to really compete at 18, they have to start around 8 years old and
yes.
play that sport
yes.
all the way through. And you'll see, you know, great basketball players, great soccer players, great lacrosse players. They really start quite young. And so that was a focus on what we're calling SCORE. It's really how do we give kids exposure at an early age to Olympic sports that have very low African American representation.
Very, very unique. I mean, I love to hear about that. And you're right. It does take some exposure. It takes some vision, and it takes the right tools in order to really be great and become an expert at something. And we just saw that true this whole weekend. You know, related to that, we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna start talking about this past weekend, and we start talking about the Art of Leadership conference that that Renee and as well as Cheryl led this past weekend, the Greater Frisco chapter of Jack and Jill. So after the break, we'll continue our dialogue with our special guests, Renee Sample and Cheryl Alston. We will continue to answer our question of the day: how to sharpen the art of leadership. So during a break, stay with us. Feel free to call us at 310-861-2331. And yay, Kennedy has come back, so Dad's a little bit more comfortable right now. You can press one on your telephone. She can bring you in, and as well as you can talk to her on the live chat room as well. You're welcome to call in and log in there as well. So our number here is 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
How do you leave? who are scarred, who are broken, who are isolated.
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions the person for better leadership, but positions the person for better life.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you lead where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and His calling, His purpose on your life. Today's question is how to sharpen the art of leadership. Helping us with that are two great leaders, Jack and Jill of America, who's part of the Greater Frisco chapter here in DFW. You have Renee Sample, who is the president of the Greater Frisco chapter, and Cheryl Alston is the executive director and chief investment officer of the Employees Retirement Fund of the City of Dallas here. Both have always sharpened the eyes of future leaders and everyone they come in contact with. So ladies, thanks for staying with us.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So Renee, I had a ball this past weekend dealing and talking with this, and it was pretty phenomenal. We had a lot of fun. At first, I think it moved a little slow because they were trying to figure me out along the way. But and we were talking in more details, and I think one of the main individuals who stood and delivered, their one word was visionary too. So once he said that, he made sure his message was visionary throughout the whole way, and that's what you walked in on with the rap song. So it was phenomenal. But tell us about the art of leadership. You know, as I asked them, part of what their vision, what is it?
Okay, so the Art of Leadership is a grant-funded program funded by Jack and Jill National Foundation. Mm-hmm. And what we do is try to expose the children, our Jack and Jill children and the children in the community, to different careers, leadership, financial literacy. This year we did fashion. We also did film and video. We did performing arts. So what we did, first year we did it as a Greater Frisco chapter. It took off. We had about 50 community participants. And the second year, another chapter heard about it and said, hey, can we join you and join mm-hmm. in? So last second year, we did it with Greater Frisco and North Suburban Dallas. This year, for the first time ever, we've had four chapters come together and say, this is a great event. We don't want to reinvent the wheel. We want all of our children exposed. So we all participated in obtaining presenters, and as you were one of them. And some of the presenters have asked to return, such as Peter Byrne. He does the technology, and he's also the owner of Mindbender Academy, which is done every summer. So we've had great success with it. We have an all-day session. We start around 9:30 this year. We had Michael Elliott come in, who's been on, who's been a producer, a writer, and he's also been on Shark Tank, producing the male salon of Call Hammer and Nails. And he came and talked to the kids about being a dream catcher, and he just shared his story of where he came from and where he is now. And so that's what we're trying to do, is put in front of our children everyday people, maybe not people that you see in a normal TV, film, and video, just not all the stars, but just let them be exposed and listen to others that have been successful, and hopefully one word will hit with them, hit their hearts, and make a difference. This year we had over, make a difference. So my theme for the past 2 years is ignite, inspire, impact, make a difference. I feel like the vision and the ignite, inspire, impact, make a difference.
Make a difference. That's it. And make a difference. Those words have gone well with our show last week, with the N words. It's been great to use those along the way, because essentially what we need to be, leaders need to start doing, right? Igniting, inspiring, and impacting, and making a difference. Cheryl, part of the philosophy in for Jack and Jill and the whole program, it says that every child, given the proper guidance and opportunity, can be developed into a leader. Can you talk about that and paint the picture? Yeah.
Oh, yes, and we believe that in terms of, we think it comes from a few things. One is developing, as you know, some of the key leadership skills in order to develop a vision, execute a vision, and kind of what's said in your program, how do you get people to follow you who don't have to follow you? They're not,
right.
It's not part of their job, and one of the greatest ways to do that or to develop those skills are a community organization, because the people are all volunteers, and so we try to encourage, give the tools to the kids to how do you develop a vision and how do you communicate that vision. And I think that was, part of your standard delivery. You have to be able to communicate your vision to others for them to follow you. And we think that that's something that's extremely key. Another thing that we feel that's important into the core philosophy is that each child has a different passion. And so we think it's very important as kids grow up to get exposed to different opportunities, different careers. And so that is why for Art of Leadership, we covered everything from fashion, performing arts, film and video, to technology and more STEM, to also one thing that we also had two female judges. So it's called Order in the Court, Life Behind the Gavel, Case Dismissed, because we are not sure that a lot of kids are thinking about the fact that they may want to go to law school or become lawyers, but in the end, I don't know if they're thinking about that they could become a judge and actually be a leader by helping to look through the facts and determine and the outcome of cases. And this is a very powerful position. So there's several different ways for them to serve in their community and become leaders, and we want to make sure that we cover a wide variety of different careers so that it reaches, one of those may reach one of the children that are sitting in that classroom.
Wow, that's such a great point and great thing that kind of slipped me from not only Renee, of putting all these different programs together, even starting with the SCORE grant, as well as this, is getting exposure to different things, different elements, in order to kind of pique the interest. As to your point, Cheryl, passion, and allowing the children to create their own vision, in a sense,
But all of this, Renee, is really just to give them a toolkit, right? Give them a toolkit
in order to
bring that vision to life. And so it's kind of parallel to your point of starting the Greater Frisco chapter, starting with the vision. You know, what are some of those key elements? Go off target on a tangent here just for a second. What are some of those key things that the group impresses upon kids that they really need to know in order to take that vision to one place, one condition to the next?
I think communication is one of the biggest keys to taking your vision from one community to the next. We have a tendency to have a vision but not share it for whatever reason. But it's important to share because you never know who you're sitting beside. You never know who you're talking to, who could help you to make that vision come to life. So
right.
I think one of the important keys is communication. So in order to be able to share your vision, you have to articulate your vision.
Right,
and
absolutely.
Knowing that in order to articulate your vision, you need to practice. You need to write it down. You need to say it. You need to look in the mirror. You need to record it. You need to hear it back. There is preparation and planning.
Yeah.
A lot of
it
that is done behind the scenes before you speak it to life. And I think that is one of the key elements that we're missing in the younger generation is the preparation and planning, and that is not just instant gratification.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's kind of similar to you know, what I talk about, the me-now culture. It's about me, I want it right now. But, you know, understanding that
there is
a process that you have to go through. And one of my good friends who's been on our show, one of my former college teammates, he talks about attitude and intensity in the process. That's what's going to dictate if you're going to go from one condition to the next. And that parallels of what you just shared along the way. It's absolutely vital. Among our kids. Cheryl, you know, why now? Why now in the art of leadership? In terms of society, what we see, why now is it important?
Well, I think it's very important. One of the things that that I've seen that kids now going to college have a much clearer view about what they want to do than maybe when I went to school. And so, but I felt that our kids did not have the same level of exposure, the same toolkit. I love the way you put it, toolkit and passion. They didn't have the same toolkit, and they eventually may have developed it, but they were a little further behind when they got to college in this respect. And so what we really wanted to do with the Art of Leadership was provide that toolkit earlier in their life so they can use that toolkit in middle school. They can use that toolkit in high school. And they can, by the time they get to college, they refine that toolkit to a point where they are the leaders of the club. They are able to take advantage of the different opportunities for either going overseas to do study and understand those different opportunities. And lead those opportunities. So we just wanted to see, like I said, I love the way you put it, we wanted them to find that, to develop that toolkit earlier and have an ability to practice that toolkit earlier in life. And then we wanted also to develop that passion earlier in life. One of the best things with Michael Elliott, who spoke yesterday, one of the things that I loved was, you know, he taught himself how to screenwrite by renting blockbuster films. And that's, he didn't take a class. He then was able, you know, 13 months later to sell a screenplay to a major studio. And so I think that if kids understand that they really love to write, they really love to, like you said, he's put your dream catcher, tell stories. And I think Michael has, you know, with his movies, you know, Like Mike and Just Right and Brown Sugar, he's told very positive stories about our community. And that's for our kids, let them know that they have that ability to do that as well. Similar to what Renee has said, is they need to, you know, develop that toolkit. They need to have ability to articulate that vision. And hopefully, like I said, we just want to develop those toolkits and that passion earlier in life.
Well, you know, that you just made up a great point. He tied right back to Renee's perspective on taking your vision to one condition to the next. Of what Michael Elliott was able to do and see, start with a vision and decided that he's just going to start where he was. Not necessarily going to find to go into a film school. He decided to rent some video, right, and then practice and prepare and kind of figure it out because he had a toolkit. But ultimately, he found that passion later in life, and now he's using it in such a way. It goes to the point of being able to expose, have a clear vision earlier than possible for our kids moving forward. So I hear you, and I appreciate that because it is about catching dreams. It is about catching purpose and understanding it sooner rather than later will put us all in a better place, adults and parents as well as kids, I think, in so many different ways. Renee, how is the art of leadership different from anything else? And if I could couch a little bit in what you shared as your message as the president of the chapter, and one of the themes is based in Proverbs 27:17, which is one of my favorite, which it shares, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Is that part of the difference?
Yes, that's a big part of the difference. Our parents come together. Our chapter is very humble, and we're all about the children, not only our children, but children in the community. And so we recognize that in order to sharpen our children, we need to also sharpen and refresh ourselves as parents. Mm. So we actually have a group. We meet once a month. We invite friends, family, sometimes it's wives, sometimes it's husband and wives, and it's called Iron Sharpens Iron. Sometimes we discuss just how parenting concerns that we have. Some of us are moving from tweens to teens, you know, just the transition from one season in life to another. And sometimes we've had a parent psychologist come in and talk to us about how to approach different situations, you know, even
right.
with life. But we all need to be refreshed and renewed within our parenting skills so we can go back and say, hey, what is your dream? How can I help you, you know, in a positive way? And I think that's what we did here. We not only had sessions for the children, we also had sessions for the parents that were staying. So we were able to impact over 165 children and parents within the community.
Wow, you know, that hits me right in the gut a little bit related to iron sharpened iron and that perspective you just shared. We have a 16-year-old and have a 4-year-old, and you know, I lobbied years in between for to get to the 4-year-old because I'm the last of 9 kids, as you know. my eldest, who's a junior and 16, and you know. As parents, I tell her, you know, we're all going to make mistakes. She will, and so will we. And I tell her, I've never had a 16-year-old before. And what you just shared is being able to be in communion, allowing someone to help sharpen your iron on someone who has had a 16-year-old before. Is that kind of what you were saying? Because I've told her that many times where I've made mistakes and had to apologize for them.
Mhm. Mhm.
Is that
I think it's important that we as parents share. You know, we're trying to change the paradigm of thinking within the within our community and within our friends. You know, we have friends, but when you sit down and talk about it, do we know who they are, and and true and into their heart? And when we're able to share some of our parenting frustrations, concerns, and like you said, those who have older children, they'd be able to pass that wisdom down or pass on their experiences. And it's just, we just need to pay it forward and continue to pay it forward.
Yeah.
Not just the Starbucks.
You're so right. And I want to go off on another tangent off based on what you said. And Cheryl, I want to address it to you. Of not only sharing with parents, but the good stuff, But in order to sharpen your iron, don't you have to share the bad stuff too, in such a way to kind of help with not only your growth, but also the growth of your kids and your family and the community in a sense? How important is it to make sure you balance?
Oh, it's very important. I mean, like you said, for you, you've never had a 16-year-old before. My daughter is 7, and I will go to people who have older kids like Renee, and I will say, you know, I have this situation, and, you know, how do you think I should deal with it? And most of the time they'll say, oh, yes, I ran across that with my child, and this is how I addressed that, all right? Or this is
right.
how I approached if it was a teacher or a principal or something the child did themselves, I would go to them and I would ask them, what did you do? Or what, you know, how do you, this is my issue. How do you think I should approach it? Because, like you said, until you have multiple children and such as Renee, who has four, I always go to her first and say, you know, what do you think about this? How do you think I should approach it? Because you want to make sure that you approach or you deal with the situation with your child in a way that's a teaching moment for them. And
right.
so you don't want to overreact or you want to make sure that they understand that you are very serious about this, you know, this respective issue. So it is very important to share. And I do call on the other Jack and Jill moms who I know who have kids in this area or who have dealt with situations like this, and ask them for their feedback and their input so that, you know, that I could be a better parent.
Right. So it goes back to your point of really the community. And, you know, if you continue to strengthen each other, lean on each other, you have an even stronger community built around, even around the 70 moms you have in your chapter, even those people they touch outside of that. And it continues to grow that way. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, so hard.
Absolutely.
You know, related to that, you know, how, I ask both of you, in this, how important is faith in helping this next generation? Go back to your point, Renee, of ignite, inspire, what the group is doing, ignite, expiring, and impacting, but also how you help the next generation make a difference. How important is faith in doing that?
I think faith is, is number one. You know, it's always God, family, and then everything else. So we have to work hard and be intentional parents about having our children active in a church, volunteering, attending seminars, not just going to church and coming home, because we are busy and this is a busy time with everybody having busy schedules. But we have to prioritize what is important in our life. And we can't do anything without God's help and without his prayers. And if we have that faith, then they have something as children to fall on when they feel like they have failed. Because it's not a failure, it's just a stepping stone. It's a way for them to think and have faith that God will take them through that obstacle or around that obstacle, above or below. So faith is number one, but we as families have to be intentional about having our children understand faith, their faith, and what it means in the family unit.
Intentional. Oh, wow. Cheryl, what's your perspective on that?
Well, my perspective, there's actually a quote that I really love, and it essentially says, Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassionate on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands to which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. And it's really letting them know that, you know, through faith and linking back to your point about making a difference, you know, how do you knit service into the DNA of kids now to know that they, as one person, they can make a difference in someone's life with something as simple as a kind word to one of their friends who's going through a tough day through service, through some of the community, whether it's activities like Meals on Wheels or things that we do. There's something that you could do to help brighten the life of someone else. And so we really try to make sure that throughout this art of leadership, throughout Jack and Jill, that we always try to instill in our kids that, you know, too much is given, much is required, and they are, that we, they have within themselves the ability to make a difference in someone's life.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And I will I will say that out of that family unit concern, the Greater Frisco chapter has decided to create, well, we have a fourth annual Pink and Blue Ball, and the Pink and Blue Ball was derived from our family because our children get to the point where when they're little, we have babysitters and we go out as adults, and when they get older, tweens and teens, 11 and 12, they go out with their friends and we're not around them. So they start with that paradigm of thinking is that in order to have fun as a family, you know, I want to be with my friends. I don't want to be with the family. That's boring. Mom and dad don't know. So out of that perception came the Pink and Blue Ball, which is a family formal ball. And we have the children come, and we have activities for the children, and as well as the adults. We'll have the adult party in the ballroom. And everybody is dressed up, and all the kids are going back and forth. It's just a wonderful time for the kids to say, hey, you know, we had a good time. And the moms say, hey, we had a good time. And everybody has a good time as a family, as a unit. We have ours this year for the fourth year in a row, November the 15th at the Hilton Granite Park in Plano. So we are looking forward to it and just providing excellent activities for kids on different ages.
Right, making a difference, the next generation, and that's what we're all should be doing in each and every day. So we're going to take just a quick break. And we're going to continue our dialogue with our special guests, Renee Sanford, Shara Austin. Feel free to call us if you got any questions. I know there's a few people on the line. I think they're just listening and absorbing at this point. Now, the answer to the question is how to sharpen the art of leadership. So stay with us. Our number here is 310-861-2331. To ask a question, press 1 on your telephone, and it raises your hand virtually, and Kennedy can bring you in. And also, you're welcome to log into our live chat room and share what's on your mind, and so Kennedy can have a conversation with you there as well. So, friends, we'd love to hear from you. Please call us at 310-861-2331, and this is On Cue. Me host Eric Powell. We'll be right back shortly.
Them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
Back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening on Q. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you leave where you are by getting you on Q with God's will. Today's question of the day, how to sharpen the art of leadership. Helping us with that are two great leaders. And if you've heard us from the first three segments, you definitely know they are. They're part of the Jack and Jill organization. We have Renee Sample, who's the president of Greater Frisco Chapter, and Cheryl Austin, who's also the executive director and chief investment officer for Employees Retirement Fund in the City of Dallas. And both are sharpening irons or future leaders in so many ways in everyday lives. So, ladies, thanks for staying with us.
Well, thank you.
Welcome.
Right. Well, it looks like most everyone is just listening, not many questions or comments along the way, but I think my producer assistant has a question. This is my daughter, Kennedy, 16-year-old. So good.
Hi, how are you guys?
Great. How are you, Kennedy?
I'm well. I just have a question. As you know, I'm a junior in high school, and so that's almost ending, so I'll be a senior. So what advice do you have for me for preparing for college in a couple of years?
Did we lose him?
Okay, so I have two in college, a freshman and a sophomore. And as you prepare for college, I would just definitely encourage you to take AP classes. I know
okay.
It's a little more work, but it's very important for college admissions to see those on your transcripts. I think it's important for make sure you volunteer, and give yourself some exposure. If you have an area of interest, area that you think you have an interest in, volunteer in that area. You know, give up
okay.
your time, and you get to actually see what they do. Cheryl, you have any more?
I do. I, in addition to, of course, I know that your parents are stressing to spend the time on, you know, academics, but visit a variety of colleges. I mean, one of the things that I remember when I was looking at different schools, I always thought I would attend one school, this one particular school. And then my mother took me on a tour, and we went to the school, and much to dismay, I received a full scholarship to this school. And she could tell as we toured her, she was looking at my face, and she said, "You don't want to come here, do you?" And I said, "No, I don't." But I realized I got a full scholarship. And she looked at me, she goes, "It's okay, you know, God will make a way. What school would you like to go to?" And I remember going and spending a weekend at one school and really just felt like I fit there. I mean, I could really, talking with the other students and the academics and I felt that that it was a good fit for me. And for me, that was, at that time, the University of Pennsylvania. So
okay.
I had met some people there. And when I remember my mother went to their financial aid office, and she was a single parent at that time, and she said, "My daughter really wants to come here." And we realized, you know, how much it costs, you know, what can we work out? And it is amazing when you say, you know, God makes a way. The financial office, the financial aid office, really did all they could, and every year they found grants for me to stay at school. And it was a wonderful experience. I have friends from college that I talk to every day. It is an excellent foundation. So I think it's really important to visit a variety of colleges, make sure that you feel you can see yourself there, not just for everything that's said in the books, but and because that is, you know, that's being comfortable with your with the college and the curriculum and what you and your specific major is just is extremely important. Mm-hmm. So that's one of my my recommendations.
Well,
that is so true.
Well, great.
There
well,
are many
you.
Factors, Kennedy, that involve college. You know, as far as if you don't like the cold, you know, you want to stay in warm weather. The curriculum, understanding what a semester, trimester, the different the way the grades come out. My son is at Elon University in North Carolina, and he didn't even think about Elon University. And we were just sharing with a friend that we're visiting different colleges, and he had already he was an alumni of Elon. And said, man, you've got to go visit. Well, my son knew he wanted to go to a small school, and that's good because small is relative. Small can be 1,500. Small can be 3,000. Small can be, you know, 6,000. So whatever is a comfort zone for you. And don't exclude some schools that may seek you out.
Mm. Good point.
Good point.
We're dealing with that, right? We're dealing with it. Well, so both of you, or either one who wants to answer, so help help the host sharpen his iron here a little bit, and or even her iron. Take this moment. What do you say to a student that that can be modest, but during this time, you know, how important is just to toot your horn just a little bit? Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I mean, because what the admissions officers are looking is they want to understand who you are, and you have to really let them in to some of your activities, your passions, what you hope to achieve, and I will tell you one of the things that Greater Frisco launched as part of the Pink and Blue Ball. The net proceeds from Pink and Blue Ball go for scholarships. So we just held the first scholarship. We received several applicants. And as I read the applications for the scholarships, it is amazing what some of the kids have been able to accomplish either through extracurricular. And so what you're really looking for, obviously, academics is a foundation. You want them to make sure that they're going to perform well at the school. But the next... And I remember one person who was actually on the board of Princeton University, and he told me that he said, we could fill the entire freshman class of Princeton with valedictorians from high schools from the state of New Jersey. But that's all we wanted was, you know, the top, you know, number one student at every school. We could easily do that from one state. He said, but what we're looking to do is we're looking to make sure that we have a diverse, well-rounded group. So there has to be someone that's in the French club, and there has to be someone that's in the radio club, and there has to be someone that's in literature. You know, so they're looking for the pieces to put together a very diverse student body because they realize that having a student body of all valedictorians at all excel at, you know, one or two things is not what they want for the university. They want to make sure that it's a great, a diverse body, and they have a great learning environment for everyone. So you have to really tell them what's different about you than the person sitting next to you and why you're going to be a great addition to their freshman class.
Wow, great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. It is even to the question I asked the group, okay, what's different about your vision? What's going to make people remember you? What's your story? And if whoever reads that application doesn't remember your story, it's going to be tough to get in. Thank you for sharpening my iron on that one.
Well, and Eric, I will say, I don't know if you remember that one story about that one person that was homeless who did well in school,
yes,
and Harvard gave her a full scholarship. And,
yes,
you know, what that teaches you is, I mean, if one thing that screams from that person is persistence. Without any help, that person succeeded, you know, without any help, but she had help from her teachers. But she was very dedicated and committed to her education. And so universities are looking to make sure that they want everyone to graduate. They want to see that commitment and that persistence to get, you know, to get to the end goal, which is to receive your diploma.
Yep, absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. Renee,
so
you're
right. So Kennedy, toot your horn.
Thank you. Toot the horn about the bass guitar and all these things that people, even your friends, don't know about you. It's just I'm done. But thank you for that. And thanks for Kennedy allowing me to embarrass her just a little bit. So that's what parents do every now and then. You know, I know time flies. We're getting up on the time, so I said I'll keep you. I know you've had a long weekend. But, you know, the last couple of weeks, you know, we ended a series about awakenings and started this series about stop doing. And we started with doing the last week, before last, we talked about the 50th anniversary of Selma. And the last few shows I've asked someone this about this particular quote, and I just feel that it's important. I think it's absolutely relevant of what I saw and what I know, and I've known in the organization for years, and what the chapter in the organization across the globe is doing, and especially of what we've talked about here today. And I want to share something with you and get your reaction to this. If you haven't seen it, the movie Selma, of course, I recommend seeing it, and I want to set it up for you. And I think this, for me, is the most powerful moment in the movie, and I'm not going to debate anybody on it. Just for me, it's the most powerful moment for me. There's a moment that occurred where Coretta Scott King, who was played by Carmen Ejogo, I think that's how I say her last name, and Amelia Boynton, who was also a part of who was played by Lorraine Toussaint, and Amelia was a well-known advocate and member of Dr. King's Selma Circle. And as Coretta prepared to meet then Malcolm X, who was no longer following the black Muslims at the time, had somewhat changed, but he wanted to find a way to help Dr. King. And the media delivered the best speech, I believe, in the movie. And it was such a quiet moment, but it's easy to miss, but it was powerful, and I think it's relevant to what you did. I just want to get your perspective on it. I want to share that with you. As she encourages Coretta, she says, "I'll tell you what I know to be true. It helps me in times when I'm feeling unsure. I know that we are descendants of a mighty people who gave civilization to the world, people who survived the holds of slave ships and crossed vast oceans, people who innovated, created, and who loved, and despite pressures, and tortures unimaginable. They are in our bloodstream, pumping our hearts every second. They prepared you. You are already ready." This is one of the most subtle hype speeches I've heard, but how does that sit with you? And is this exactly what we've been talking about, what you're trying to foster in our kids?
I think for me...
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Renee.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I think for me, you hit on two things. When I was listening to that, I was thinking about my faith in God, and
mm-hmm.
also my ancestors and my immediate in my family,
mm-hmm.
knowing my history in my family. My faith was, I'll tell you what I know, and my faith that I've studied and I believe in is Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I know that I can stand on him and stand on the word, and that's the way I walk every day. He orders my steps. He orders my daily schedule every day. My history is my ancestors and where they come, and I'm from Virginia, so I've been to my grandma's house that had a well and had a farm, and she had a cotton patch, so I've seen cotton growing from the ground. You know, and I look at that, and I have to look at that and say to myself, I don't want to come back here. I don't want to go back there. So what do I need to do to make a change in the legendary links within my family?
Wow.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything that Renee said. I think the other thing that reaches out for me is inner strength. And when I look at this, and you said this quote, what reaches out to me is that I'm not alone. And so your inner strength comes not from just you or your family, it's the ancestors that have come before you to put you in this place. And so you need to have the inner strength to, stand up when you need to stand up for if you see an injustice. And I mean, it's hard to be the lone person to say, I think that we need to approach this differently, or I think that we need to, right this wrong. But I think that overall, your inner strength that comes from, our like you said, descendants of a mighty people, that you, your family, and the people give you that strength to move forward with hopefully implementing a vision or standing up for someone. And, we all know that saying, if you don't stand up for someone, there's not going to be anyone to stand up when injustice happens to you. I think that really teaching our kids and teaching ourselves that, we are prepared. We do have an inner strength. No one has all the answers, so you need to, do the best you can in the situation in which you're in.
Wow, both powerful. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for allowing me to interject that into our conversation, because it is something, and it does start with the inner strength and what you're rooted in your faith in order to kind of pull you through no matter in good times as well as bad, and pull on those learnings, those prayers that come generations before you. Very, very powerful for us. So thank you for indulging me on that quote. Again, time flies, and I wanted to close out a few things. I want to just ask a few questions for both of you, or either one. So, how do our audience support Jack and Jill, or even just the Greater Frisco chapter, and your current efforts, and how do people find you in order to do that?
Well, we have a website, Jack and Jill, greaterfrisco.org, Jack and Jill, greaterfrisco.org, and you can get on our website and see the different open events that we have for the community. And also see how you can contribute towards our foundation, which our foundation gives scholarships to improve and enhance the education of our youth for today.
Well, thank you. We also have a link out on our Facebook page and also on our website in this invitation. I need to put it on our website so we'll be able to connect to that, those who are listening.
Great.
And so we'll continue to do that. Cheryl, I'll start with you, and Renee, I'll end with you on this last question. What can we be in prayer with you about?
Well, I think really in prayer with us for the families and the community. I mean, we are all trying as you with your leadership, as well as some of the events that we're doing. We're all really trying in our own small way to make a difference. And so you pray for the wisdom and the guidance, and to make sure that, we are the hands of Christ, and that we are doing what we can to, help make a difference.
Right. Thank you for that. Renee? Mm-hmm.
I would just ask you to pray as I, this is my last year of serving two terms as president. So as we transition into a new board, just pray for the Greater Frisco chapter and the moms and dads, and that we will continue to move forward in the correct direction to make a difference in the community.
All right. So we're going to virtually agree on making a difference, not only just the what we're doing now and the Greater Frisco in part of Jack and Jill, as well as also as you transition from one vision to the next. But hopefully that vision stays, mm-hmm. continue to make a difference, and we're going to pray for that. And I thank for both of you for coming. And I know it's been a long weekend, and they let you get back to your families. You know, if before I do that, is there something that I should have asked that I didn't?
I think you have covered everything.
We're great. Well, I appreciate it. Well, great. So we'll continue. Of course, we'll stay in touch and continue to sharpen each other's irons. I think there's a lot more things that we can do, and I pray that Jack and Jill of Greater Frisco will welcome me back as well. I enjoyed my time with the kids, and hopefully got a big benefit. And I think I owe you guys a note as well along those lines, and a few things to pass mm-hmm. out to them. So I just thank you for that opportunity as well.
We thank you for the opportunity to share and be on your blog. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. And so, ladies and gentlemen, friends, that is Renee Sample, who is the president of the Greater Frisco chapter, and Cheryl Alston, who's also part of the Frisco chapter. She's also executive director and chief investment officer of the Employees Retirement Fund of the City of Dallas. As you can see, both powerful leaders and on our show tonight, and both sharpening the irons of future leaders. You know, as I shared with you, I enjoyed my time with the kids this past weekend. I felt at home, and I was encouraged, really encouraged by the future. And I saw something else that I hadn't seen in a while, a long time, when I went into the classroom. It was a pencil sharpener. I hadn't seen a pencil sharpener in a long time. Probably since my wife is teaching in her classroom, and I hadn't seen it in a few years. But, you know, I was intrigued simply because I had not seen it, and it neither stood by one. But the Spirit also used it for me today for our question of the day, how to sharpen the art of leadership. And it took me through Hebrews 4:12. It tells us that for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit and of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You know, during all this time, the word, the sword of your mouth can be able to kind of cut two ways, either a blessing for someone, even cursing someone. And but a blessing is, you know, how important is it to speak blessings over our children and even encourage them with encouraging words? And that's essentially what we are trying to do, and what Greater Frisco, Jack and Jill broadly, and a lot of organizations are trying to build our kids, build some gatekeepers, speak words of being proud, speak words of potential to do great. And of things of this world, and even speak words to say, you know, you're right where you're supposed to be, and now you just do this one thing that provides a little energy, you're going to have your personal best coming up real soon. You know, just like I saw here at Jack and Jill this week, it's the power of equipping these gatekeepers, as I always talk about, we need some gatekeepers with the Word of God. But the Spirit of the Word of God, though, it motions us. The Word of God heals us. It nourishes us. It strengthens us. It refreshes us. As Cheryl shared earlier today about bringing in the community to refresh us and to satisfy and also refinement. And it is to the point that we're sharpening our own iron with that Word. But what is the Word of God? And as John 1:1 shares, is written or not, it exists. And it came to life in Jesus Christ. I'm clear on what I have to say, because in the beginning, as said, in the was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was the beginning. And all things came into being in Him. As apart from Him, nothing can be in the being that has come into being without Him. Even leadership, even purpose, even everything we do. And if you continue to read down in John 1 and verse 14, it said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That is why it's better to listen to God and allow him to speak through our spirit, which has been a hard lesson for me over the years. But in order to listen and then speak to your spirit, since his understanding is indefinitely greater than ours, and this is a very important principle being given to us when it comes to our own art of leadership. Now, getting back to Hebrews 4:12, which ends, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The seriousness of Christ's words here and his works should cause us to listen to the gospel in such a way with a corresponding seriousness. No matter if we're talking about raising our kids, no matter if we're talking about going to college, no matter if we're talking about guiding a board or a group of people to one purpose or one vision to the next, it is important to listen to the gospel in order and with a corresponding seriousness. So believe me, he, the living word, is able to discern the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. The words we speak is a direct reflection of our hearts. If we're spewing negativity, that's in our hearts. We're spewing goodness, that's in our heart. The words that we speak come from what we have deposited in our spirit. And as John 1, 1 John chapter 4 tells us, greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. If he, H-E, spell it out, is truly in us. Now catch this now. If he, H-E, is truly in us. So if we are not, do not like what we're saying, we do not like what's coming out of our mouths, we may not have he that's greater in us. That goes for all of us. We may have he that's in the world in our hearts. We may not have to learn the truth for ourselves, but of putting he, the H-E, in us, it's really about the gravity of the gospel. If we put the H-E in us, even when it comes to our leadership, and if we're putting the H-E in us, we may be in need of a heart transplant, because leadership is about the heart. It's about the heart of the matter. So our question of the day is how to sharpen the art of leadership, the A-R-T, add the H-E in front of it. Add the H-E in front of the A-R-T and what you get. It is the heart of leadership. So if we want to lead for the Lord, lead in our purpose, get on cue with his will, sharpen our own leadership, you have to start with a greater he and put it in our hearts. It's that simple. So I thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you for our special guests. Thank you for those that listen in. And as my mom said, if we live, Lord, spare, we'll see you next week. Kennedy's going to close us out.
Before we go, we thank our special guests, Renee Sample and Shara Austin. We thank you for tuning in. We hope that our ministry helps you get on cue with the Lord. I have an ask for all of you. Put us on your prayer list. Like us on Facebook at On Cue Radio and follow us on Twitter at Cue Leadership. Invite a friend to listen to this show and to next week's show. If you're a leader in the church, on the field, at home, at work, in the community, or anywhere, consider us to enhance your leadership. For more information, go to our website, www.qleadership.org or .com. If you'd like to be a sponsor, please email us at onq@qleadership.com. Also, buy my dad's book, The Leader in the Mirror, released on February 5th. We give all honor and praise to Christ our Savior. I am sure my dad thanks his producer assistant, me, his better half, best friend, and wife, my mom, my little sister Carson, all of our family, friends, and life, and on Facebook. We dedicate this show to everyone who is sharpening the art of leadership. This has been On Cue Radio. Until next week, get on cue with God's will, get on cue with God's calling on your life, and get others on cue with that calling.
Lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated.
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue for his calling on their lives. Let us help you Get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the cue. Let us help you get on cue.